room, to those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving test, medical test, the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nest in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors among us today. We remember you. One more time, can we give all of our mothers, all of our women? Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are awesome, awesome people. We're in a series right now called Miracles, and I see mothers, honestly, as one of God's greatest miracles. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this question: my name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. Mothers are that magnet. They are that glue, oftentimes celebrated as the one who just sort of keeps things together. I want to talk about a miracle today that a mom needed in 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to begin reading at verse number 8 today. If you have your Bible, you can join me there, or you can follow along on the screen momentarily. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse number 8. And I want to tell you this today, for the next few moments as we're teaching, as we're preaching. Mama said so. Mama said so. Just look at somebody and tell them that mama said so. I know you know this. I know you're aware of this, but mama said so. The Bible says one day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, "I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." You see this Shunammite woman, this noble woman, the Bible refers to her as in the King James. We see her ability as a mom to make a home. She says, "You know what? We have this extra space. We have this area over here that we're not doing anything with. Why don't we build an extra room there? Let's prepare a place, because, you know, Elisha keeps coming by, and it's obvious that he is doing God's work. It's obvious that he is God's prophet, and he's passing through, and so I want him to have a comfortable place to just stay for a night or two, and we'll cook him a meal." It reminds me of those people. I traveled some 15, 16 years, and people would say, "Hey, if you're ever in our area, just come by. You have a bed. You have a bed to sleep in. You have a refrigerator to raid." That's the idea. This woman is trying to create a home away from home, if you will, for Elisha. And the husband completely agrees this is the right thing to do. And they begin building this room for Elisha. Well, don't miss what this is about today, because really it is about honor. It's about honor unto God. Because often God gauges our honor toward him by how we treat others and how we honor others. Gauges our love for him by how we love others. I don't know about your house, but I still think it's a good idea for moms and dads to be careful what they say in front of the children. I still think it's a good idea to be careful what we say about the church, what we say about God's people, what we say about people in leadership in front of little ears. Because you know, mom, she's the champion of honor in the home. You probably have one who corrected your disrespect, or maybe helped to edit your no to no, ma'am. She probably even washed your mouth out with soap once or twice. Now, this woman is establishing a culture of honor in her home. She wants it to be a place where people are respected and people are valued. I think honor is important. I think honor is and will continue to be important in this church, because in the world it no longer is. People say whatever they want to say. People talk any way they want to talk. We're living in a social media world, and people take their grievance right out there to the interwebs for hundreds or even thousands of people to read or to follow. And this mom says, "Hey, I'm going to make sure that we have a house that is full of honor." So then in verse 11, the Bible said that Elisha returned to Shunem. He's been coming back and forth. Now he's passed through and stayed a few nights with this couple. And he gets into this upper room to rest, and then says to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her we appreciate the kind concern that you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" Let me give you some modern everyday language of this conversation that is transpiring between these people. Elisha is saying, I'm trying to figure out what your angle is. You've built this room, and I love this room. I appreciate the warm meal, but I'm trying to find out what it is that you want. I'm trying to find out what it is that you are looking for. Why are you being so nice to us? Can we put in a good word for you? Is there something that you need taken care of? And she says, no, my family takes good care of me. In fact, I'm not giving to get something from you. I'm doing this because it is the right thing to do. So in verse 15, Elisha says, call her back again. And in verse 16, he tells her, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. Look at her response. She says, no, my Lord, O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. Listen, I wasn't building this room or cooking these meals because I was trying to get this from you. No, it was the servant Gehazi that had told Elisha a couple of verses earlier. He said, you know what? We've been coming in and out of this home now for a little while, and this woman is so hospitable and her husband is so respectful, but I've never heard the laugh of a little boy. I've never heard the giggle of a young girl. They have no children. I wonder if that is what they need. And so here Elisha begins to prophesy and speak a miracle into her life. About this time next year, you are going to hold a child, a son, in your arms. And this woman responds and says, no, do not even play games with me. This was obviously a place of pain in her life. I don't know how many times they had tried to conceive children. I don't know how long they had wanted children of their own. I don't know how long this had been a desire for her, but she wasn't about to get her hopes up. She wasn't about to believe something that was not really going to happen. In fact, she says, do not deceive me and get my hopes up like that. See, God was trying to tell her, you are a miracle mom. You're a miracle mom. She's careful to trust. She's careful to hope. She's a mama that doesn't take any, you know, all this frivolous talk and this fluff and hype. No, I don't want to play a game like this because this means too much to me. But then when you get to verse 18, the Bible said that one day when her child was older, they've gone year in and year out. They've lived until the boy is now up in his teenage years, I suspect. And he goes out to help his father who was working with the harvesters. And in verse 19, the Bible said that suddenly he cried out, my head hurts, my head. And his father says to one of the servants, carry him home to his mother. I don't know what to do for him. I don't know how to fix this. Take the boy to his mother. How many fathers have said that right there? Out with the kids at Chick-fil-A, and one of them starts feeling bad. You don't look for the hospital, the urgent care. Let's find out where mom is. Let's go see where she is. She'll know what to do. She will know how to handle this. She will know how to deal with this. Take the boy to his mother. She's the one who prays. She'll know what is supposed to happen with this boy. Maybe you are the mom. Maybe you are the woman whom everyone thinks always knows what to do. Maybe even if you've been faking it. Maybe even if you've just looked like you knew what was going on. We are grateful. We're grateful for you always having the answer. We're grateful for you always knowing what to do, who to call, where to take us, and how to fix the crisis that we have going on in our lives. I remember one year for Christmas, I'm the youngest of three. My sister is 5 years older than I am. My brother is 7 years older than I am. And we all pooled our money together one Christmas, and we bought my mother a bike. Bought her a bike. She was already, about to say older, but not necessarily old by any means, but we bought her a bike. It had been years since she had been on a bicycle. And so there was getting familiar with the bike again. There was trying to figure out the pedaling process again. And she was doing good. It kind of came back to her from her young girl days. And so there we were, the four of us, pedaling around the neighborhood, and all of it was going great until we got over on a back road where there was some gravel on the side of the road, and she got over into that gravel, and before you know it, she lost her balance and she went down pretty hard. And when I looked down at her knee, the blood was running, and she had scraped and skint her knee, peeling the skin back. It was a nasty mess. And here we are, brother, sister, and myself, and mother is hurt. Mother is the one who's down. Mother is the one who is bleeding. Mother is the one who has skint her knee. And we didn't know what to do. And mother had tears in her eyes, and mother was grimacing, and mother didn't know that she could get back up on the bike again. And so me, the baby, since no one knew what to do, I just started feeding the words she had always said to me back to her. Things like, come on, that doesn't hurt, get up. There, you better go outside and play. You're gonna be fine, it's just a little blood, wipe it up, get on your bike and ride. Can I tell you that my mother didn't enjoy hearing that nearly as much as she enjoyed saying that? It was not a good night for baby brother. Oh, moms know how to fix things. Moms know how to solve things. Because the Bible said that servant took the boy to his mother, and mother held the boy on her lap. She gets in her favorite chair. She gets her favorite book that she's always loved reading to him. You'll always be my baby. You're never going to be too big to get up here in my lap. You just lay your head right there. I know you're not feeling good, son. I know your head is hurting. Let me just soothe you. Let me just sing to you. Let me just read this poetry to you. Let me just calm you for a moment. But the Bible said that he laid his head on her lap, and around noontime, he died. Can you imagine? What does she do next? Where does she go from here? She's the miracle mom with a miracle child. What is she supposed to do about this? This is not what I was planning for my Tuesday afternoon. This is not the way that my week was supposed to go. This is not how all of this was supposed to turn out. What am I going to do now? Let me show you what this woman does, because I think it's going to help every single lady in the room today. The Bible said in verse 21 that she carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Then she shut the door and she left him there. You say, wait just a minute, that seems odd. Her boy has just breathed his last breath. Her boy is no more. And she picks him up and all of his teenage self and wrestles him up the stairs to that upper room where Elisha sleeps a night or two a month. She takes him up there and lays him out on the bed. But hear me, it's much more than the bed. It's much more than the room. It's much more than the physicality of what is happening in that moment. This woman is saying, you know what? I'm at a crossroads in my life. I don't know how to fix this, but what I do know is that if I have a crisis in my life, I'm not about to run away from the thing that brought me here. I'm about to run toward the commitment that brought me here. She said, I'm going back to this room because that's where this child was born. Not physically, but that's where the word came to me about this time. Next year, you're going to be holding a son in your arms. She said, you know what? If it was prayer that brought this baby into existence, then I'm going back to prayer. If it was giving that brought this baby into existence, then I'm going back to giving. If it was an attitude of faith that brought this boy into my life, then I'm going back to a place of faith. You see, too many people have hell break loose in their life, and they run from God. They run from prayer. They get angry. They get bitter. They get frustrated. They don't know why things happen that happen in their life, and so they'd rather go off by themselves somewhere. But this woman said, no, that's not what miracle moms do. I'm going back to the place of commitment in my life. She sent a message to her husband and said, send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. You see, her response right now is so critical. And the reality is, you have to decide how you're going to handle the hurts in life. Because if things are not going as you planned they would go, you can't lose faith. You can't lose heart. You can't give up. Somehow, in some way, you have to start fresh. You have to go back. You have to go back to what you know works in your life. I talk to people all the time who are disappointed with how life has turned out. And I always ask them, when things were going good, tell me what you were doing. Oh, I was on the front row. I was worshiping. I was in the altar. I was serving somewhere. Hey, don't you think it would be a good idea to go back to all of the things that worked before? Don't you think this would be a good opportunity to worship again? Because my response to the crisis in life is so very important. Verse 25 said that as she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her way out there in the distance. And he said to Gehazi, I look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her. Ask her, is everything all right with you? Your husband and your child. Yeah, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. Ooh, moms, there's something about you that even when things are not all right, things are all right. There's something down deep inside of you that even when the home is not what you want it to be, is everything okay? Everything is all right. No, this woman is not trying to sugarcoat. This woman is not trying to fake until she makes. She's not trying to play some game. It is faith that is speaking. Sometimes you can't let your mind answer the question. Sometimes you can't let your flesh answer the question. If I were to answer the question based on my circumstance, I'd probably tell you, you know, everything is falling apart, including me. But she reached down to her faith and said, oh, I can tell you that everything is fine. Why? Because this is not my child. This is God's child. This is not my marriage. This is God's marriage. This is not my teenager. This is God's teenager. So everything is going to be all right. Look at somebody and tell them, mama said everything is going to be all right. Mama said so. I don't want to be disrespectful or sacrilegious, but it almost doesn't even matter what God says. Mama said so. And when mama said so, Gehazi is confused. Why is she here? Why? I mean, you know it's not fine, yet you're worshiping like it's fine. You know it's not fine, but you're praying like it's fine. Can I tell you that you cannot continue to be faithful and everything not work out the way you want it to work out in your life? I'm telling you, if you continue to do the right things, if you continue to do what God has asked you to do, you better hold on, because there is a miracle that is happening in your life. I know it's Mother's Day and you got a reservation and you got dinner and you got steaks to grill, Dad, and you'll get there in just a moment, but I feel like there's some people in this room today that need a miracle in their life. I feel like there's some ladies. I feel like there's some families. I feel like there's some marriages. I feel like there's some teenagers in this room today, that if you could get a miracle in your life, it would make this the best Mother's Day you've ever lived. She came to the man of God, verse 27, at the mountain, and she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. It's the first time she's exhaled. It's the first time she slipped out of mama's got it all together mode to just real woman at the breaking point. She grabs onto his feet. She's deeply troubled. Elisha says, but the Lord has not revealed to me what it is. Oh, I would imagine this woman from Shunem, she could start asking why right now. She could start expressing her frustrations to the Lord right now. She could probably start fussing and maybe even cussing. Why in the world, after I've been so faithful, after I've done all that you asked me to do, after I have served and built rooms and made hot meals, oh, I would imagine there's all kind of things that she could have said in that moment, but it was not the time to ask why. Sometimes, mama, you'll drive yourself crazy asking why. Why did this happen? Why did it turn out this way? Sometimes you just have to hold on and keep trusting God that everything is going to work as He wills for it to work. Sometimes you just have to hold on to your faith and believe with everything that you have. I have a feeling I'm preaching to some mamas in this room. I have a feeling I'm preaching to some families in this room that you are holding on for dear life. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's going to happen next week, but here you are in the presence of the Lord, holding on by a thread. But I'm telling you, there's a miracle in this house. I love verse 28 because you see a little bit of this mama come out in her. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? No, ma'am. And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Yes, ma'am. You gonna fix this. I didn't come in to go out like that. I didn't walk that marriage aisle for it to fall apart like this. I didn't labor and travail and pain for 9-10 hours just to lose my baby to the world. I didn't work for years and years and years just to go down in a financial collapse like this. You gonna fix this? Some of you ladies need to start being a mama in your prayer time. Lord, I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm not sitting back and waiting and wondering if this is ever going to work. I'm going to believe. I'm going to stand on the word. You are going to fix this. And so verse 32, when Elisha arrives back at the house, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone, shut the door behind him, and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And then he probably went and found a good counselor, because that's odd. See, sometimes God don't make sense. That's why they used to say, any way you want to bless me, Lord, I don't care how you do it, just so you do it. He opens the door. The boy comes out of that room. You see, every mom, every woman here today, your body creates miracles. It's fascinating. It's amazing. Sherry Smith, one of our care pastors, here today. I went to her home yesterday, invited Elle and come see. She's got a, I guess today, 4 days old colt. Beautiful, incredible. Just a few days old when we saw him yesterday. Made sure Mama was okay with it out there in that stall where that baby boy is. He made friends with Elle and was snuggling up to her and nuzzling up to her. And Mama was trying to eat, but every now and then, Mama would turn fast, look quick. If that baby got out of her sight, Mama was protecting. Every now and then, she would neigh. Every now and then, she would just letting you know I'm here and I'm bigger and stronger than you are. Mamas create miracles. But you may be tired. You may be weary from all you're doing. I've come to tell you on Mother's Day, don't give up. Whether your babies are toddlers or teenagers, don't give up. Feel like you can't say it another time? Do it once more. It's time to run to Jesus. You know why? Because your spirit can create miracles too. Just like you birth things in your body, you can birth things in your spirit. Who? What are you praying for? Speak, declare, decree. Mama said so. Father, I pray right now for people in this house. Man, I feel you. Jesus, have mercy. People that are tired in this room, weary, struggling, in pain, emotionally, physically. Heart is broken. Mind is stressed. Worry is winning. But today, there is a miracle for every mama. There is strength for every family. There is healing for her in this room. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I wonder if every lady in the house would stand on your feet. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to move from where you are. Just every lady. Stand, every mama, every woman, every lady young,